Thank you, Larry. I'd first like to bring you greetings from my wife. She sends her love to you. Had a call with young Brother Placido. We called down to Yobain to talk to him, and he says hello also, and he wishes he could be here. And those of you that he knows, he sends his greetings. And those that he doesn't, he hopes to meet you. Today, I have a sermon that I have prepared. It's been upon my heart that I want each one of you, when you leave here, I want you to be able to say in one word what this sermon is about. That's my goal. So I'm going to tell you what it is. And I want you, when you be able to leave here, I want you to be able to say and think about it. My sermon today is going to be about patience. So you just put that in your mind, you know. It's going to be about patience. You leave here, Jay's sermon is about patience. I believe God put this upon my heart. There are things in our lives that affect every part of your life. Patience is one of those things. You know, if you don't have love, it affects your whole life, every aspect of it. If you don't have faith, it affects every part of your life. If you don't have hope, the same thing is true. Every part of your life. Patience is the same way. It affects every part of your life. Well, I have children at home, and they get busy, and they forget to clean up their room. Not too long. I usually try and tell them to do it, but sometimes they don't even do it then. You know, when you walk in sometimes to my children's room, and it just seemed to be for the last week, they've just come home, changed their clothes, and left. And there's a little pile from Tuesday and one from Wednesday and so on and so forth. And you go into the room and you can't get from one side to the other without running into their pile of clothes. You can't step anywhere. Well, patience is like that. If you don't have patience, every step you take in life, you're going to run right into that stuff. You run into that problem. Everyone is building a house to live in, a spiritual house. We have to keep it in order in our lives. There's no exceptions. That's the wonderful thing about this particular attribute that we must acquire. There are no exceptions. Even if you're young. You know, we say that, don't we? Well, we give a young person an exception. Well, he's young. You know, we got to let him take care of that, you know. Or he's too old. How often you hear that? Well, they're too old now, and they're not. They no longer have the patience they once did. I'm here to tell you, there's no exception. You are not excused. Neither am I. I've heard, there's a nice saying, patience is a virtue, and it kind of puts, you know, it's a soft, gentle word, patience. You think about it like it's It gives a connotation like it's something sort of optional in life. It's optional. Like going to down to buy a stereo for your car. You know, how many watts do you want? Or going down to McDonald's and tell them to hold the onions on their hamburger. There's no option. You take the bitter herb with the savory meat. I have heard it said that impatience runs in families. You know, those Mosers they're just quick. That's just the way they are. But there's no exception. And so we kind of excuse people, I think, for a lack of patience. Jesus said, he made this statement to his disciples. He said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. And there's only one family that will eventually inherit the kingdom of God, the family of Christ that have put on the attributes of our Savior, Christ's family. I'd like to say that, you know, if you're going through life and you're not acquiring patience, or if you're impatient about anything in your life, anything, You're missing the mark about what life is all about. You've missed the point. You've missed the point about what we're supposed to be about in this life. And at this point, I'd like to read a scripture that we find in the Book of Mormon. And I want to turn to the first chapter of the Book of Mosiah, verse 119 and verse 120. So I'll read those now, 119 and 120. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient. Patient. Full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. You know, we have sent out a proposed purpose for the solemn assembly. And in there are illusions or statements, just an actual statement, really. It just comes right out and says, you know, we're looking that someday there's going to be even more destruction than there is today. Some countries you lived in, you wouldn't be looking for more destruction. You'd know it was here. But, you know, we're looking for that, aren't we? But I'd like to make this statement. I believe it's true. I don't believe violence in this world, that some atom bomb is going to destroy the kingdom of God. But I certainly believe lack of patience could. You could destroy it. You could destroy your life. Destroy it completely. Again, I'd like to go to the Book of Mormon and read in the third book of Nephi, chapter 5, a couple of verses from the words of Christ. Verse 39 and verse 40. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as a little child and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. And we're talking about becoming like a little child. And to a certain extent, you know, children are completely impatient. But then when they realize who their parents are and their parents have told them to do something, they have to wait. They have to wait for what God would give to them. If in life you're going through life without patience, you're not prepared to meet your Heavenly Father. You're not prepared because, you know, you're like the statement that's made in the book of Revelations, that you're wretched and you're miserable and you're poor and you're naked. You're not ready. You're not ready. Well, first I want to tell you, you know, that there must be some reason why we have patience. Why you have patience. Why we must have patience. The first thing, it's a simple reason. And that is, you know, we're not really residents of this world. You're just passing through. And if you're impatient, it could be you've taken up residence. You're a permanent resident in your heart. We look for a better world. Something better. More beautiful. More important. More glorious. Don't set your roots in all the stuff that's here. And everything that you could be or should be or you could have. We're just passing through. And we have a hope of eternal life. And so, we wait. We're patient. We wait. Impatience is a habit. You learn it when you're a little kid. You learn it and you keep that habit. And sometimes we don't like to change our habits. You know, I learned how to operate a yo-yo and to ride a bicycle and to drive a car, all those kind of things. Until they're habits. Most of you have been driving cars. If you have been driving a car for 20 years, how often do you get in and decide in the morning, you don't get up in the morning and think, well, now, what do I do when I'm going to get in the car and drive to work? You just say, I'm going to work. You don't think, now I've got to go out there and I got to put the key in the lock and I got to turn it and I got to pull it with my other hand. I got to step in. It's all a habit. You get in there, you put your seatbelt on, I hope. You put the key in the ignition, you drive down the road. You don't think. But you know what? If you don't give some consideration to when you're driving a car and you just function solely on habit, you're going to pay a terrible price, aren't you? A terrible price. Terrible price if you run over somebody. And you'll be responsible if you're careless. It'll be your fault. And the same thing is true when you get up in the morning and you start off in your life and you've been making, you know, how many of you ever have, every day of your life you seem to be fighting the same battle. Every day, the same thing. And maybe your battle is patience. When we get to the end of this, I want to read a list of things as I look through the scriptures of all the ways that we're impatient. And to point out, and I hope that you'll find something there that applies to you directly in your life. I hope that if there's something that I say that maybe you know really applies to you, that you're really not willing to wait in life for this or for that or for someone else. That maybe if some of the things that have been said today touch your heart, that you will realize that it's the Holy Spirit and that you'll consider these things. And I'd like you to consider this and ask yourself the question, have you ever really tried in your life to overcome it? You think, well, yeah, I did. I tried last week, or I tried last year, or something like that. Did you ever set out and try to change your habit? Did you ever set out and say, well, to sit and take 5 minutes out of your life? Just 5 minutes in the morning to sit down and say, well, and to pray, and to ask the Lord, now today, when I get down there in the council room and Rollins says something again like he did yesterday, help me not to get upset. Now, that's just an example. Now, Roland didn't say anything to me that made me upset. But how many of you, you know somebody, and you know you're going to be upset at them, and you plan it. You think you don't, but you already got a plan. It's a plan to be upset at this person. Why? They're going to say the same thing they always said. They're going to do the same thing they always said. You go to conference, they're going to do the same thing they've always done. And you already got it set in your mind. How many of you sat down and planned and said, this year, help me, Lord. When such and such happens, like I know it's going to happen, help me not to say what I said last year or do what I did yesterday. And how many of you, you know, like your children, my mom used to tell me, I remember things, I have about 3 or 4 of my mother's commandments permanently etched in my brain. Close the door. Wash your hands. Put your dishes away. I got it permanently etched in my mind. Any of you have some of these things? I remember this just like it was yesterday. Close the door. Wipe your shoes. Why? Because she was patient enough to tell me every time. Every day. 3, 4, 5 times. Every day. Brush your teeth. You have to give it every day of your life. You failed yesterday or the day before. You got to try again today. The same thing. You got to do it over and over and over again. You cannot give up. God required Abraham to change. He was an old man. He required him to withhold nothing. No one is accepted. And it takes practice. I don't know if they have something called here, the newspapers and the politicians down in Phoenix have coined a phrase called road rage. They have that here? Road rage. Okay, it must be a national campaign or something. Road rage. You're thinking about making new laws against road rage. That's, you know, you get in, and that's when these people, they act unreasonable on the highway and they get impatient and you drive in front of them or whatever it is, you're there and they're mad at you, and sometimes you don't even know why. You haven't the faintest idea why they're upset. But they get upset, and so they're thinking about making laws down there when people act on this. Road rage, that it's going to be punishable by law. I thought it already was, but I guess it's not. You know, when you somebody's driving next to you and you ram them with your car or something, and they've been doing that down there. I guess they do that up here too. If you forget everything else, I want you to remember this one statement, because this is what my sermon was based on as I sat there one day in church and these words came into my heart. Sometimes patience is the only answer. There is no other answer. Now, I'd like to illustrate that. That came to me, and I thought about it, and I thought about some of the scriptures, and I'd like to try and illustrate that by what God has done. It is the only answer many times. There's nothing else that can be done. What are you going to do? Somebody comes up to you, challenges you. I was in the parking lot the other day down at Walmart, went to get some socks. Driving in there, I was looking for parking space, you know, like this, and I happened to look up, and there was a guy parked about three or four car lengths down on the other side of the road, and he was looking at me. And I saw him, and all of a sudden he goes, like this, and I don't know what he wants, you know. For some reason he thought I should be doing something that I wasn't doing for him, and he was all upset, you know. And I'm not sure what was on his lips, but I have an idea. And I'm not sure what he wanted me to go left or right or something. I really don't know what he really wanted, but he was upset. And so I came up there and I whipped into one of the parking spaces and he drove past. He wasn't even going to wave, you know, when he was muttering. He drove on the other side and he got out of his car and he slammed the door. And I had several options. But maybe only one real option. And before I hurt my arm, you know, I thought, well, maybe I'll just take care of this situation. But this was an old guy. I figured I could handle him okay. But there's no other answer but patience. There's no other solution. None. You can't change him. So let's go and read some of the scriptures that have to do that show us that this is exactly what God did and does and has done. This same thing. I'd like you to turn to the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. And we're going to read verse 41, very short verse. You'll all recognize it. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. You all remember that scripture. So what was going through his mind? He wept over the city. I'd like you to turn to the book of Jacob. In the book of Mormon, third chapter. Chapter 3 and verse 89. On page 183. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard wept. And saith unto the servant, what could I have done more for my vineyard? Have you ever been there?
and had that situation. You got one now in your life? What can I do? What else can I do? I've done everything. What can I do? You know, God had sent His Son. He had called the people out of the world. He had given the gospel to the world. He had blessed them, made them rich, made them poor, chastised them, helped them, loved them, corrected them, moved them, transported them, done all these things for them, sent His Son to die for them. What can I do? What else could He do? Let's find out. Drop down to verse, let's go down to verse 109. It says, "And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard saith unto the servant, Let us go to and hew down the trees of the vineyard, and cast them into the fire, that they shall not cumber the ground of my vineyard. For I have done all. What could I have done more for my vineyard?" Now here is, you know, I'm sure this is where we come from. You know, this really doesn't mean, this is a parable. You know, this is explaining to us that this is what God could have done. He didn't intend to do that. He knew what He was going to do all from the very beginning. He knew. But this is a parable for us to consider. This is what He could have done. He hewed down the trees of the vineyard, cleansed it. He could have done it. Now let's read verse 110. "But behold, the servant saith unto the Lord of the vineyard, Spare it a little longer." He had done everything. He had done everything for His people. And you know, I think this applies to us in our lives. It applies to our physical problems. It applies to our problems that you have in your marriages. It applies to things in every aspect of your life. There are times you've just got to realize all you can do is just wait and be patient. You remember this found in the book of Luke. I'd like to read it. A verse there, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." And you remember that it really goes right in with what we're talking about here. The Lord's great patience, and how He said, you know, how oft I'd gather you together, and He wouldn't, and they wouldn't. Book of Mormon, and look at the story in the fourth chapter of the third book of Nephi, just after the great destruction that was here upon this land, after the crucifixion of our Lord. There was something that took place. I'd like to read verse 21 in this fourth chapter of third Nephi, and read what was going on there. It says, "And it came to pass that it did last for the space of 3 days, that there was no light seen, and there was great mourning and howling and weeping among all the people continually." There was a great destruction. These people had lost, and if we understand this correctly, every family was affected. Everyone lost loved ones. Destruction had happened in their land, their homes, all kinds of things. And they were weeping, and they had good reason to. But let's go on and read verse 27. "And then they heard His voice, and the Lord chastised them in this moment. And He said this." He said, "For the devil," in verse 27, "For the devil laugheth, and his angels rejoice because of the slain of the fair sons and daughters of my people. And it is because of their iniquity and abominations that they are fallen." You know, sometimes you can be sorrowful because for the wrong reason. What's important? The most important thing that there is that you have salvation. And that those around you, and He wasn't simply telling them, chastising them because of the destruction, the physical destruction, but because of the lost souls, pointing out to them, this is what's important. This is what you must be concerned with. the soul salvation of individuals and of yourselves. This is what's truly important. We find later on, it says they... I'm going to read verse 51 and 52. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for of such is the kingdom of God. Behold, of such I have laid down my life and have taken it up again. Therefore, repent and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Pointing out to them, this is what's important. In this time of sorrow, this is what's important. It's always important. At every moment. And later on we find out they began to weep and wail again. There was silence, but they began to weep and wail again. And maybe they realized what was truly important. That's what's really important. The salvation of your brothers and sisters and those that are around you. I remember, I think of times in my life when I have, put a couple additions on my house, and I remember getting halfway through and wondering, you know, when is this ever going to be done, and have some kind of problem, and you do something and you put up a wall and you realize you got to tear the thing down again, you got to tear it all down, and your work's no good. And so what do? You know, you just repair the damage and tear the wall down and start over again. But if I'd gone out there with a sledgehammer and just torn everything apart, everything would have been a waste of time. And you know, if you don't have patience in your life, if you don't have patience with your loved ones, and you don't have patience with one another, everything could be vain. It could be for nothing. It could be for nothing. The Church of Christ teaches the principle that you must endure unto the end. All your good works that are before, you must be patient and you must wait. Or it could be for nothing. That's what we teach. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of the 10th chapter of Alma. Then I'm going to go through this list and it's going to be over. My sermon's going to be over. In the 10th chapter of Alma, verse 28 and 29, it says, "But that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on His holy name and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear. And thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at the last day and enter into His rest." And that's what's important, that we gain patience in life, that we realize what life is all about, that these problems and stresses sometimes in your life that you have, if you don't learn patience from it, you're wasting your time. Don't waste your time. Make it count for something. God, you know, we've been saved through the Lord by, He extends His salvation through grace and through His patience. He extended His love to us, but then He made it eternal by patience. Patience makes it eternal. And that's what we must also do. Be formed in the similitude of our Savior. Well, I'm going to read this list. Things that I went through, I picked a scripture, and then I looked at it and tried to analyze it and look at it and say, now what's this telling me about patience? So I'm going to read this list. Got about 15 or 16 things here, right out of the scriptures. Well, you are impatient if, of course, the obvious. This is the obvious, you know. If you're impatient with one another, that's obvious, isn't it? You're impatient, probably, if you get angry. Could be about anything. You're impatient if you get upset at evil men. You know, I got a message on the email from a brother that I love. He sent it probably to some of you. This message on the email was about our nation. And his problem with our nation And I shared this with Don because he didn't have email. I took it over there to show him, you know, when we go see this brother again, we'll keep this in mind, you know. I really love this brother. He's just generous to a fault. And I get impatient with my government. And some of the things that are happening right now, they just upset me to no end. But I remember. I remember when Brother Hausnick one time said, you know, Brother Hausnick was no one to talk, was he? He had an impatient streak, didn't he? But you know, he stood up one day and he told us before a sacrament service, you know, he said, you know, before you come here, you should consider not picking up the newspaper. And Don gave a testimony. He says, you know, that very day I had gone out and I had picked up the Sunday morning paper and I opened it up and right there on the front page was a picture of some people being killed. Lying there, you know, dead. And he went to church with that vision in his head. And the scriptures tell me that we should not be impatient. Doesn't mean we shouldn't do something. You know that scripture that in the Book of Mormon, when Jesus expanded on this idea, you know, how oft would I gather you, and how oft would I have gathered you in the past, and how oft would I gather you now? And he says, how oft will I gather you? But he says, you know, if you don't, if you're not going to repent and hear me, you know, I'm going to leave your house desolate. And so we look at that and say, well, that's not patience. But there's a big difference in the way God reacts and the way we do. And you look at those scriptures and you look at them closely, and there's something that's plain. He's ready at any moment that we come to Him. He's ready. And sometimes when we're impatient with one another, you're not ready. You're not ready. If I've been doing something to you day after day, year after year, you're not ready if I repent. You're not ready. You've got to be ready. Ready to. That's patience. The book of Psalms in numerous places says, giving praise to God because His mercy endureth forever. But it doesn't sound like when you read that scripture, you know, well, I'm going to make your house desolate. But He was ready. Ready any time to receive them. And that's what you've got to be. Ready with every person that you meet. Ready to receive them. And we have to keep in mind that the meek shall inherit the earth. They shall. And no matter what happens in our politics, in other nations, the meek will inherit the earth. They shall. And that's why we can be patient. We know that God will one day answer all things. He will answer. Every knee shall bow. Every knee will bow to Him. You're impatient if you cease to seek to do well. To do things that are good. If you have given up, you know, well, what good does it do? If you have ceased to try and do nice things, good things to your neighbors, you're probably impatient. You've given up. If you don't endure trials and afflictions, tribulations, needs, distresses, say the scriptures, you're probably impatient. If you stop waiting for that better world, you're impatient. If you can't endure in the gospel, you know, those bitter things about you personally, those hard sayings or hard sayings about that may affect your loved ones, you know, if the commandments of God fall on our actions, hard sayings, if we can't endure those things, we're probably too impatient. You're impatient if you don't show mercy. Mercy. Undeserved though it may be. If you're always getting in arguments with others, you're impatient. If you can't teach, and when you teach people, you know, some of you are teachers, and you know, you tell those kids, you try and teach them how to do something. I've been trying to teach my mother how to run a computer. And I'll tell you, it's hard. She's not getting it. She's not getting it. But the important thing is that I get it, isn't it? The important thing is that, you know, I'm trying to teach somebody to do something, anything. It could be the gospel, it could be anything. And they're not getting it. You've got to be patient. There's no other answer. And if you use the excuse that you're getting older, maybe you've just become cynical. If you have your faculties, if you have all your faculties, there's no excuse. If you're a rebellious employee, you may be impatient. Quite possibly. If you're careless about your actions, careless, you know, well, that's just really too much work. You're not patient enough to do it. You're lazy. You're careless about your actions, you know. And it could be about any kind of action. And the last one. Boy, this one just fits like a shoe, I think, to just almost all of us. You set out every day in your life, and you got too much to do. Any of you like that? You set out in your life and there's too much to do. Too much to get done. I can't get it all done. I don't have any time. It's time to take a look at your life and realize what really is important. What is really important? I had to make some decisions, you know, I mean, emotional, spiritual decisions when my nerve was killed. Was you know, I read the doctor, you know, he told me how long it takes for a nerve to grow and to grow back. So I got 1 to 5 years to wait under normal conditions. Now he's already told me, he says, you know, you're doing very well. You're doing much better than I thought you'd do. Much, much better. And I want you to know that. But he said, you know, you got some time to wait. He says, it's going to take 1 to 2 years for that nerve to get to where it needs to go. And then it may take up to 5 years for it to get all those little connections in there to have full function. Your nerve grows, he says, at 1 inch a month. What I read one time, but when it comes to things like patience and setting new habits, I thought this was kind of interesting. You know, in the scriptures, the gospel or the Lord in the Old Testament, at least in the New Testament, refers to the heart, your heart, you know, as you know, where your desire is and the thing that drives you in life. It's an interesting thing. He said in this book I read, you know, that your brain, I guess, never ever recuperates from anything. It just kind of, the cells die and that's it, you know. But your heart regenerates every 30 days. Every 30 days. Could be possible you could change your habit in 30 days if you worked at it. I think so. I think so. How long would it take, you know? I know when I'm with Don, Don has his habits and I just kind of yield to his habits because I realize some of his habits are better than my habits. And so we go somewhere and we do things a certain way and we do them way Don does them. But it takes me a couple of weeks to get used to that, you know? And then after that, we're flying real good and we just fall into our routine. It doesn't take long, really. Not really. You've got to apply yourself. Every day, you got to make a plan in the morning when you get up. Okay, now when he says this, I'm not going to say that. You know, you've got to do that. You've got to think, and you've got to pray and ask God's help for His Spirit to help you. Well, that's it. And I hope you remember that, those things in your life. And I know, myself, as I went over these things and wrote them down, that I saw lots of things in my own life that I needed to change. And I hope you will apply them to your life. May God bless you.